Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And Screen Verdict is back for one of the biggest cultural phenomenons of the year. Matt, what are we talking about this week?
Game of Thrones final season kicks off this week. And I'm pretty excited about this.
The final season. Game of Thrones, it's just exploded. It's gone from getting a little bit of nerd fanfare in season one to being a full-blown cultural icon, and pretty much everyone I know is absolutely pumped for the final season.
Yeah, you can get the whiskey, you can get the Oreos, you can get the... At a park in Sydney, they've set up a grave site this week for all to, so people can go and pay respects to those who have died of Game of Thrones over the past seven seasons.
Oh, that could take a while.
Yeah, they've called it the Grave of Thrones.
I'll give it a B. A B for the pun there. But, so much to talk about. So what we're going to be doing in this podcast, we do a lot of reviews and occasionally we do a preview. And we thought this momentous moment deserved a preview. So we're going to do a little quick catch-up from Season 7 and then make some calls on what we think might happen in the final Season 8.
Mm, yes, I think that's a good idea. So, where do we want to go with this? Let's talk a little bit about Season 7. We didn't actually get to do a review of that when it aired out. So, Jonathan, what were your thoughts on Season 7 of the show?
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect because Season 5, in my opinion, worst season of Game of Thrones. Season 6, best season of Game of Thrones. So, what a turnaround. Season 7, overall, I think it was really good. I felt like a lot happened. I felt like we got a little bit of some of the confrontation that had been brewing for some time. One of the first things that I really enjoyed was, I believe, what is it, the Grey Worm and his army stormed Casterly Rock. And they go, ha ha! We've taken this. Oops! Actually, the Lannisters have dipped on Casterly Rock, and they've taken their whole army to what's it called? Where are the Tyrells from? Highgarden. Yeah, they went to Highgarden instead. So I like that. It was kind of like, oh, you think things are going well, but no, the Lannisters are, as they often are, a step ahead.
Mm. They're sneaky, those Lannisters. I keep an eye on them in the last season.
You can trust them to pay their debts, but nothing else. Nothing else is trustworthy about them.
Yeah. Do they even pay their debts, or is that just good PR? Like, you say enough, like, you know, I can think of, like, a few political leaders, one in particular, who will often just say, like, a slogan, and that sort of creates the impression that they are doing that thing, but there's actually no substance behind it.
Yeah. I'm looking at you, Mayor of Boise. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. If we've got any Game of Thrones super fans that want to point out some specific debts that were repaid by the Lannisters, we'd appreciate that. We'll get the Screen Verdict interns on that as well.
There was season one where Tyrion pays the guard who passes along some information to him while he's captured in the Eyrie. And at the end, Tyrion's leaving after winning that trial by combat, and he goes, "I said it, Lannister always pays his debts," and then, like, throws some gold coins to the guard. But I'm not sure if Tyrion, no pun intended, is the gold standard for whether Lannisters pay their debts or not.
Hmm. Well, I think part of taking Highgarden was that there was a lot of riches, spoils, you know, from that battle. And they were trying to bring it back from Highgarden, I guess, to repay the Iron Bank, fund more war. So perhaps that could have been one. But they get attacked. They get attacked by Daenerys' army and the dragons in what was probably one of the best battle scenes I think we've seen so far in the show.
Yeah, that was a great battle scene. I think it might be my favorite because you've got the Lannisters here with Jaime getting attacked by Daenerys and the dragons. Like, that's a showdown you've wanted to see for a while, right? The dragons take on some Lannisters.
Yeah, totally, because they've been hearing about it, and to see the dragons probably show their potential, because we've seen them kind of in isolated incidents, and we've seen them when they were small, but to see them just go in and wreck like a big army was like, ooh, these are good. These, dang, yeah, I'm not messing with those no dragons. I'm peacing out. See ya. Catch me on the flip side.
Now, before this battle, like, the Lannisters are sort of talking, and they're sort of like, here, Daenerys, she's got dragons. I'm worried about these dragons Daenerys has. And I think it's Cersei goes, don't worry, we've figured something out. We've got some secret weapon against the dragons. And then so they bring him down, and then they unveil a giant crossbow.
Yeah, apparently like, the Scorpion Ballista.
Yeah. Like, this is what they've been working on. It looks like they've been, like, just got that shipped in, like, from the Acme Corporation. Like, who did you say did it? The.
I don't. It's. I think. I'm not sure if they found it or they invented it, but that creepy guy that brought the mountain back to life, yeah, that Cersei uses for stuff, he showed it to her. Can't remember his name, but he either found it or invented it.
Yeah, it's sort of weird. Like, he sort of has brought this guy back to life pretty much, or used zombie powers or something. And then the next thing, it seems like he only had a day on the next task. It's like, hey, you can whip something together to beat the dragons, right? And it's like, yeah. And he just, like, you know, gets the Wile E. Coyote catalog and just orders, like, you know, we'll just make a really big crossbow. That'll work, right? Like,
yeah, they tried a really heavy anvil to begin with, but they couldn't get above the dragons. They said, no, yeah, we need something that we can use from below the dragons to shoot up at the dragons. Giant crossbow. Yeah.
Mm. So I think at one point one of the dragons does get hit, but it doesn't, like, seem, it just says to, like, you know, I think it's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't kill the dragon, but it does wound the dragon. I think Drogon. And it was Bronn that fired it. Maybe kind of, you know, stopped the attack for a little while. And Bronn, it looked like perhaps Jaime was going to die for a moment. But Bronn tackles him into the water. Episode ends. Come back next week. They're fine. They're fine. They survive, guys. They're okay.
Yeah, that was sort of weird too. It definitely, like, looked like a bit of a, like, hey, Jaime's dead. And then the next episode, nah, he just went down the river for ages in his armor and came out, like, okay.
There were a couple of times I thought Jaime might die. This is jumping ahead a little bit, but we're just doing quick season 7 review. At the end of the season, I believe it's the final episode, Cersei revealed to Jaime that she was lying about joining everybody else to go get the White Walkers. And and Jaime goes to leave, and they've kind of been back and forth. She was disappointed that he didn't make what's-her-name's death a more painful death, Elena, Marjorie's mother. And in that moment when the zombie mountain kind of steps forward and Jamie's like, no, I'm not having a part of this, because he's kind of on board with how dangerous the White Walkers is and goes to walk away. I wouldn't have been surprised if Cersei had ordered the mountain to attack Jaime. Like, I thought that was a really tense scene.
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen?
I thought it'd be okay. I thought she'd just get mad at him, like, at the end of the day. I sort of feel like they didn't save him from that battle with Daenerys just to have it end there. I feel like he's going to play quite a key role in getting rid of Cersei Lannister from the show. So,
yeah. Although if she had made the Mountain fight him and he beat the Mountain and got away, then the kind of tension between them is even higher, because not only do they disagree on this, she's now tried to have him killed.
So yeah, no, that's fair.
That could have heightened that conflict, but we'll see. Yeah. What, maybe she has the Mountain in mind for something else.
Yes, and it'll be interesting to see what role the Mountain plays in the last season. Like, that is something, yeah, that's something I'm interested to see.
Definitely. Were there any other big moments or anything up that that changed things going into season 8 that you want to talk about?
I think there were like two things that stick out from this season to me. And one was, I'm not sure, maybe we talk about this in the season 8 sort of preview bit. Maybe not. It was this whole plan to like convince Cersei to join the battle by capturing a White Walker north of the wall.
Yeah.
And I just felt like this was a ridiculous plan where the risks were far too high and the rewards far too unlikely.
You thought if they go north of the wall, those people risking their lives for something that even if they capture is not going to change Cersei's mind.
Yes. And this is like, they send a lot of heavy, like they send Jon Snow, someone who's very important, like it just
very liable to get himself into trouble trying to do something heroic as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That is his MO. And like this whole, like, it seemed like a very ill-conceived plan. Like, oh, let's go, like, you know, we're going on a zombie hunt, like, sort of thing. Hey, let's go. We'll catch a zombie. We've got to keep it alive. We've got to, like, all these sorts of things. Like,
yeah, it did seem high risk, although maybe they brought some people on board. I can't remember exactly who was on their side or not beforehand, but I feel like who's the Hound working with at the moment? I feel like when the Hound saw the White Walkers, he was like, oh, this is pretty serious. Jamie, when he saw the White Walkers, he thought, oh, this is no good. So I think it did influence some people, but Cersei, nah, she's a slippery snake.
Yeah. Well, they lost a dragon because of this, so I'm very annoyed at Jon Snow for this sort of idea.
So yeah, let's talk about that. They get the White Walker, but then they get surrounded by a whole army of them, and someone makes a heroic run back to, is it the wall? So to let Daenerys know we're in trouble. Send a dragon. And they do come, and they are able to rescue them. Well, some people died, but most importantly, Jon Snow is rescued. But in the process, let me see, which dragon was it? Viserion. Viserion gets hit by, what is it, like an ice spear? Strong spear, apparently.
Yeah.
You thought giant crossbow spear. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's enough to wound one. But to take one down, ice spear. Yeah. That's the ice next spear. Level.
And like ice, sort of the opposite, like dragons would hate ice because they're like fire is their thing.
I feel like it's that kind of circular logic from Pokemon. It's like, it's like fire's bad for plant, plant is bad for water, water's bad for fire. I feel like plant definitely sucks. I feel like fire's the best.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, Daenerys
fire melts ice, but ice beats fire. It's very confusing.
it's like, well, Danny's got that line when her brother dies where he carks it and she goes, like, he wasn't a dragon. Fire can't kill a dragon. So I guess what can kill a dragon? Maybe ice.
Maybe ice. Ah, oh, she jinxed it.
Yeah. But maybe fire can, maybe this is not circular as much as maybe fire kills ice and ice kills fire. So it's which one... Which one is first, because it's not like the dragon had breathed fire on the Night King, right?
No, the dragon got a bunch of other people, but not the Night King.
So maybe if he had got fire on him first, he would have died. That's sort of what I'm feeling.
Well, the worst part was not taking down the dragon. The worst part was reanimating the dragon. There's now a White Walker dragon.
Maybe a white flyer.
Shoots blue flames.
Yeah.
Not good.
So this is bad news. Setting the stage for an epic final season. The last thing, there were a lot of other things that happened in the season. The other thing sort of to talk about was John and Danny met each other.
Yeah, John meets Daenerys. Where is it? When that what's the name?
Is it like the second episode? I think it's pretty early on.
Yeah, they meet somewhere where they where there's like the source of the Dragonstone.
Yeah, I think it's called Dragonstone. Is the place?
Not sure how that eluded me.
Yeah.
And she seems a bit, you know, she wants to play some games, make sure, you know. He knows that she's the boss, bend the knee, he said, well, I don't know, I've already committed to this and that. But trust me, I'm a good guy. But eventually John does pledge himself and the North to Daenerys as their queen.
Booyah.
And that might not be the only way in which John might like Daenerys to be his queen.
Yes, so they get together at the end. Yeah.
And I'm sure this is something that we should be able to get correct. I'm sure this is important. But they're cousins, is that right?
I thought she's his auntie.
She's his auntie.
I think so.
That sounds familiar. Well, they're related. Yeah.
Which, when they got together, they still are unaware of this fact.
Let's see.
So it's not like he's like, so you're my aunt. She's like, yeah, you're my nephew. Let's do it. they at this point are unaware, which is why it's good. Like, I don't know. I feel like Ned should have, like, I don't know. I feel like it's unfortunate that not everyone knew everything.
Well, this complicates matters in two different ways. So yes. The first is that it is awkward that the person that you've fallen in love with, you are related to. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, who does this make the legitimate heir to the throne? Because Daenerys thinks it's her. She thinks... Yeah. My dad was the king, the Mad King, and then he was unrightfully deposed, and then my brother is dead. He was next in line. He's dead, so that makes me next in line. I am the true heir to the throne. But the Mad King had Daenerys and Rhaegar. Rhaegar married Lyanna Stark in secret. And that is, and they birthed Jon Snow. I guess just one of them birthed. They don't birth. Only one person births, as is my understanding of science.
Yeah.
Jon Snow is their son, and so if he is the son of the son of the Mad King, who she's believed was should not have been removed from the throne. Does that make him and not Daenerys the rightful heir to the throne? What do you think?
People have told me yes. people are, like, people explain, and I can't remember the explanation they gave, but people, because at the time, like, I think Danny should still be the next in line. They told me, no, that's not how it works, and yeah.
I think it goes by, I think it goes to the next male. So if you should be the king and you die, it doesn't go to your sister first. It would go to your son first.
Yeah.
So I think that does actually make Jon Snow the rightful heir to the throne.
So he's the rightful heir to the throne, which really, in a Game of Thrones world, like, it's really not who's got the right to the throne, but who takes it is really the thing. And Danny's probably done himself no favors by harping on the right to the throne all this time. You know that it was done late. Should have been, hey, I'd make the best queen, and I've got dragons, so the throne is mine.
Yeah, you really don't want to harp on about the letter of the law when it turns out the letter of the law is not in your favor.
Yeah. Anyway, so a strategic error by Danny, by having something so concrete be part of her claim, something so, like, you know, binary. Where it's like, who can make the best queen or king? Well, then it's subjective. She can, like,
yeah, I would have banked on, I would have banked on who has dragons.
Yes.
Raise your hand if you have a dragon and you can be in the discussion for, no, nobody else? All right, that's it. I'm the queen. The throne is mine. Although now America somebody else has a dragon. There's two people that can put their hat into the ring.
Yeah, the Night King and Daenerys. Okay.
So other things might come up, but do you want to do a quick quick rating, quick final review of season 7 and maybe an MVP of season 7?
I thought season 7 was a good season. I think all of the episodes. I thought it was interesting. But I'll be honest, watching season 7, nothing like, there were some awesome moments. They were like, oh, an ice dragon. And that was pretty shocking. And there was really cool, I think the peak was the Daenerys attacking the Lannisters. I thought that was sort of my favorite part of the season. It was nice seeing characters reunite. I think there were some really cool lines. But nothing really shocked me. Nothing really, there was no red wedding moment. There was no Baelor, like when Ned Stark was killed. There was no, like, there was no mountain versus the Viper battle. I just felt like sort of, oh, John and Danny getting together was fairly predictable. And I didn't like that you could see that coming from, like, the third episode. And them being related was sort of, I think, telegraphed so much earlier in the season that, like, when we were hearing that, I think, monologue from, I think it was Bran, while they're having sex, about them being related. I was sort of like, why are they telling me stuff I've already been told in bits and pieces throughout this season? Like, it seemed like the exposition was explaining something that the audience should already have picked up on. So I felt like the sort of, at the end of the season, I felt a bit like, oh, okay, yeah. I didn't, like, to be honest, so really good, consistent season that didn't wow me too much. So I'll give it like a, and I can't remember what I've given any other season, so this is probably not a great, like, I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Very good. Well, I enjoyed this. I think it was one of the stronger seasons. I thought there were some good moments. The battle at Casterly Rock, the battle as the Lannisters were trying to make their way back to King's Landing. I thought Elena's death, where she confessed to poisoning Joffrey, was quite a good scene. I thought, not really all that important, but Samwell and Jorah had some fun scenes together as he heals him from the his lizard sickness or whatever it is.
Yeah.
We have the drama beyond the wall The meeting where we get kind of all the major players in one place at one time, I thought was quite interesting. Danny and John getting together, a bit predictable, but not necessarily against it. I do like those two characters. It does make sense. And something we didn't mention, Littlefinger getting executed. One of my favorite characters. Perhaps, I don't know, I felt like his plans never really came to fruition. I don't, as I thought he was one of the best players of the game. I feel like he kind of petered out a bit. It was a little bit anticlimactic for Littlefinger. And
I agree. He peaked in season four. He had such a great season four. I'd say in the mix for player of the season.
For sure.
But yeah, had done really nothing that good since.
And let me see, I felt like the tension between Arya and Sansa was meant to throw off Littlefinger, but it felt a little bit manufactured, as if it was just meant to throw off the audience for the twist, for them to come together and kill Littlefinger at the end. So it was interesting, but you know, not the best. It wasn't the peak of the season. And then you have the Night King and the White Walker dragon storming the wall at the end, which I thought was pretty dramatic. So, very strong season. I think I'm going to give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Okay. So, who do we each season we try to give an MVP of the season, and we didn't do that for this season. And this is not best performance or, you know, most interesting. This is who played the Game of Thrones the best. I think if you died by nature of the in the Game of Thrones, winner or die, you can't get our player of the season.
Good rule, logical rule. Yeah. I stand by it.
Yeah, yeah. Who do you think gets this player of the season? I've got a name in mind. Who do you think?
I'm going to give my MVP of the season to the Night King.
That was the name in my mind. It's like. Because I think, look, the Lannisters had a few good moves, like taking Highgarden, I think was a good move by them. I think Dany had a great move in attacking the Lannisters as well, and that was a good move by her. I think, Arya was doing some good things and killing Littlefinger was a good move too. But I think, like, there were also blind spots. Like, Daenerys lost a dragon, you know? Jon Snow led the mission that helped lose Daenerys the dragon. The Lannisters lost that battle against Daenerys. They seem a bit of a shambles at the moment and have lost some of their, it seems like the bottom is really perhaps about to fall out from under the Lannisters too. They don't seem prepared for what's coming. I think there's really no one but the Night King that can win this award, right?
Yeah, if you look at what they were trying to do, their objective was to get to the wall, breach the wall, start making their way south so they can wreak havoc on Westeros, eventually get to King's Landing, I would presume. And they did that. And they went from no dragons to one dragon. Perhaps the most important difference. Three dragons to two dragons. It's not great, but at least you still got some dragons. But no dragons at all to one dragon. Definitely a big plus. And I don't know if there are any added benefits to being an undead dragon. I'm not sure how many regular dragons that's worth. Big moves. Big moves from the Night King. I felt like the final image of them tearing down the wall with the blue dragon fire was kind of signified, well, yeah, this is the end of this game. Fortunately, it's not a best of seven. It's a best of eight, but game seven went to the Night King.
Yeah, it's Mr. Night King, tear down that wall.
Who's yelling that at the Night King?
I don't know.
just some like preppy intern who's just got a little bit overexcited. Mr. Night King, tear down that. Oh, okay. Yeah, my
ass. It is overstepped, interesting to say. And really, getting MVP in season six or season two or season three is great. But it's really winner takes all on Game of Thrones. It's really last game wins. Last goal wins on Game of Thrones. Whoever's had the best, whoever's ended up on that throne at the end of season eight is the winner of the match.
In the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. And that could be the title of our Season 8 preview. We're basically going to play a game, Die or Not Die. I can't imagine too many people end this season unscathed. So are there any particular characters, players that you have opinions on, have theories on going into Season 8?
Okay, Cersei has been on the throne for, I think, a season now, right? She took the throne at the end of season six. Really no right to it at all. This whole idea of birthright leading to the throne, she's completely thrown out the window. She's now ruling Westeros. She's had the throne for a season. She is now, Night King aside, the villain of the season. She is going to die this season. I'm pretty confident of that.
Who would you rather, if it had to be one of these two, be on the throne? The Night King or Cersei?
The Night King.
I think from a story point of view, the Night King's probably a more satisfying outcome. But I think if I was just a voter, not that they vote, it's not a presidency, but if I was a voter, just a civilian in Westeros, Cersei's not great, but probably still better than the Night King.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a citizen in Westeros. this is the problem. I don't really get the Night King's motivations or his philosophy with ruling and political power and stuff like that. Like,
yeah, what's his opinion on the minimum wage?
Yeah, yeah. I did not know the Night King platform. So are you saying more with Cersei, better the devil you know than the devil you don't? Yeah.
Imagine if, like, the Night King gets to King's Landing, kills everyone, and he's like, all right, guys, time to implement a universal basic income.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unlikely.
Yeah. So I think Cersei does. Who do you think's gonna? Do you agree with me that Cersei's gonna die? Or do you disagree?
I think she has to. I think she's made too many enemies. Even Jaime, perhaps the only person in the world that truly loves her, is arguably no longer on her side. Although that could change. I just don't see her army being strong enough. I think she's going to get attacked on too many fronts. And I just feel like she's laid sort of the groundwork for something to come back and bite her in the butt. I'm not sure what it is yet.
Who do you think kills her? Because I think it's got to be Jaime or Tyrion right as the front runners.
Yeah, I would think... Yeah, if
with maybe Arya and Arya is a dark horse.
Ooh, I like that because she was on her list.
Yeah, and you know, if the Hound killed Cersei, that would be, not the Hound, sorry. If the Mountain killed Cersei, that'd be interesting since she was the one who kept him alive. But I do think it'll be one of her brothers. I think there's some prophecy about a brother killing her. I don't know. Game of Thrones fans can probably go ballistic now that I've, like, just made up a prophecy.
You can't make up Game of Thrones lore. Are you insane? I'll go Arya.
I think
I'll
it'll be Jaime.
I'll pick Arya.
I think Jaime's going to kill her.
All right. Cersei. Dead or not dead? Dead.
Dead. Okay, you can pick a character now.
Let's pick a character. Who do I want to see? Well, you. So I can't remember what season you did this. No, I think you're fine. I think you'll survive season eight.
Oh, yeah.
But quite a while ago, you had a prediction that I believe four characters were unkillable and correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm putting words in your mouth.
Did I say, I had the four unkillable characters.
And in retrospect, or now, it looks perhaps a little bit obvious. But to give you credit, you did make this prediction quite early. I think it might have even been as early as season two.
Yeah, I think it was maybe in our season two review, yeah.
So who are your four characters? Are they still alive? And do we think that they'll survive season eight?
Okay, my four characters. And to be fair, I did have a caveat on this prediction. So it was Arya, the young girl, Tyrion, the sort of imp, cripple imp, or whatever the... I don't know, they don't really use PC terms in Game of Thrones time. So Daenerys, the exile, and Jon Snow, the bastard, because they are they typify the underdog in Westeros time. And this is the story of the underdogs, not the story of your traditional heroes, masculine heroes like your Robb Starks and Ned Starks. My caveat was they might die in the final season, but we will see their story play out for all seasons of the show.
Stand by it. Have the courage of your convictions that they will all survive this season, Matt.
I'm not sure if they will.
I would say Arya has to be pretty safe. I feel like a lot of people would be upset if Arya were to die.
Powerful ending, though.
It could be. It could be. I don't know. She's tough to kill. She's the god of many faces? The god of no faces? The god of some faces? Anyway, she's picked up some pretty good skills. At the start of this last season, we saw her disguised as Walder Frey. Got like a mini red wedding.
I can see Arya faking her death this season.
Yeah.
I can see an Arya like that we think she's dead and then we see her later on.
We also saw her dueling with Brienne. It wasn't a real fight, it was a practice fight, but she looked pretty good. And Brienne out-dueled the Hound, so... I don't think anyone's besting her in a hand-to-hand combat. I don't think anyone's getting the upper hand on her. The only way I could see her dying is just if she's just overwhelmed. Maybe, you know, a dragon situation, something like that.
Hard to sort of fight an ice dragon.
Yeah.
I think we will see this season, hopefully, a sick sword fight with Arya where she kills someone that is satisfying.
Yes, agreed.
But maybe she kills the mountain.
That would be good. I would like to see that.
Little person, massive person. Although I think the Hound could kill the mountain too. I think maybe. Yes. Wait. Okay. Here we go. Mountain kills the Hound, and then Arya avenges the Hound by killing the mountain.
I like that. I could see with that needle. Happening. That would be with needle. That would be satisfying. Doing what the Viper couldn't.
Yeah. Okay, so Arya, we think... I'll say she survives too. But boy, I'm on the fence with that one. I think with Daenerys and Jon Snow, I don't see both of them surviving the season. I think that's too happier in the, Jon and Danny, they can rule together on the throne, power couple. Like, I think one of them has to die.
I think if one of them lays down their life for the other, surely it's Jon.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest, I really hope Jon dies this year.
Your teasers in season five.
Yeah, he's already really died dead. Once. It'd be unfair if someone who died once comes back and ends up winning the whole thing. he's made a few bad decisions. Like, I don't know. I guess everyone's made a few bad decisions. But he's been quite boring, I felt, over the course of the series. He hasn't been the character that's really stirred the pot or made it interesting. I just think have a great, I like the guy, but have this great death where you give up your life. But I could see Dany giving up her life for John. Like, there is something about him being less ambitious than her and maybe having someone sort of a bit more humble on the, you know, the person who's been the more politically ambitious person giving up her life for the person who's been more sacrificial throughout the course of the series. I could see that happening, but I'm going to go with John dying, Dany living.
Yeah, I think that's the safer bet. I would think, I don't know, you can throw in these twists and turns in the earlier seasons, but for the final season, do you really want to annoy everyone by killing off Dany, who is arguably a much more popular character than Jon Snow? Maybe, because that's not what people would expect.
Yeah. What about Tyrion?
Tyrion.
I could see him dying.
I think Tyrion lives. I can't see Tyrion dying unless the whole thing goes horribly wrong.
Yeah. I just think there's going to be some pretty sad deaths this season. And I don't think, like, you could get much sadder than Tyrion dying.
I feel like if Tyrion dies, everything goes south. Like, Cersei ends up on the throne. Like, that's the kind of ending we're getting.
Yeah.
So I'll say whoever ends up on the throne, Jon, Dany, Wildcard, we'll get to that. I think all of them will want/need Tyrion.
Yeah, I guess. I hadn't thought much about Tyrion's fate, and I'm uncertain. I am uncertain. So I don't know. I'll say dead.
I'll say not dead.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to be wrong on everything, aren't I? So you think John's probably going to die, but you think the other three of my four untouchables will survive?
Correct.
Okay. Interesting. I think Sansa is someone worth talking about. What do you think is going to happen with her? She's, as this series has gone on, been a much more impressive character to me. I've loved seeing Sansa Stark rise. What do you think?
I would imagine, I could see Sansa dying.
Yeah. I think if you've got Arya living, the chance of Sansa dying is higher. Just because I feel like, almost like I expect in this final season, each household to pay a price.
Yeah, I think.
Like the Targaryens lose Jon. The Lannisters will lose someone, like, you know, Jaime, Cersei, and Tyrion. One of them, at least one of them, is going to die. The Starks will lose someone to it. Maybe Sansa is the price they pay for winning the war.
You know, I was going to say die, but then if Arya's the only Stark left, that's actually super sad.
I'm not sure if it's going to be a super happy ending, though.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, all of the things that Arya's been through to finally make it back, it all to go down, and the people she fought through everything to make it back to, they die as well, and she just has to go on without them as she has been for the last...
I know that Tyrion was going to die, but what an interesting end if you had... Like, just at the end, it's Daenerys on the throne with Tyrion and Arya at her, you know, right and left-hand side, and they're sort of the three surviving sort of remnants of each household. Like, right, that would be pretty powerful.
Sansa, dead.
Yeah. Jon, dead. Jaime and Cersei, dead.
Yeah.
And you've got one last Lannister, one last Targaryen, and one last Stark. And from them, the kingdom refreshes. You know, like from them, the.
I can see that. I like this.
Yeah. I'm starting to convince myself on this.
This is making sense.
And these are my three favorite characters. So like, I'd sort of be happy if that's how it looks.
You mentioned Jamie.
That's my fan fiction.
You mentioned Jamie. Jamie's got to go, right?
Yeah, I think he's going to die. We're going to even have a bit of a Romeo-Juliet twisted take, maybe, where, like, rather than them committing suicide for each other, they kill each other.
Ooh.
Like, you know, he murdered, like, maybe they poison each other at the same time. Like, I don't know. Like, probably.
They're both switching the drinks back and forth as each other turn around with, like, increasingly silly distractions, and it just turns out that both the drinks have poison in it the whole time.
Yeah. That'd
be good. They're both like, oh, no, you bested me. And it's like, no, you bested me.
Yeah. They're pretty much all the main characters we've talked about, right?
Do we want to maybe quickly run through some perhaps less leading characters, maybe like Samwell? Yeah. Does Samwell survive?
Not sure. I'm going to say no.
I'll say not dead. I'll say Samwell survives.
Okay. We'll have to, after this, do a bit of a listen back to this podcast, do a tally of who we each predicted to see who does better.
Let's see. Jorah.
Jorah. I think he's going to die.
I'll go Jorah dead.
Yeah. I'm sort of in doubt picking dead in this game, and I feel like this could really be the wrong course of action.
What about Grey Worm and Missandei?
Are they important enough to die? Like,
well, Grey Worm is probably, you know, he's kind of after the dragons, Daenerys' best soldier, so he's somewhat important.
Yeah, because I just don't think everyone's going to die, but there's going to be some people that help out after the rubble is set. I can say Grey Worm's going to die, though. Grey Worm die, Melisandre live.
Well, Melisandre's the Red Witch.
Oh, sorry. Who are you talking about?
I don't know. Missandei, the girl that likes Grey Worm.
Yeah, she'll live. Grey Worm will die.
I'll say. That does make a lot of sense. Don't really want Grey Worm to die.
I'm indifferent. Like, I don't want him to die, but I'm not that invested in the Grey Worm sort of story. Like,
It just makes too much sense. All right, Grey Worm dead, Missandei. I'll go dead as well.
Okay, both of them die. Melisandre?
She's got to go.
Yeah, I think she's going to go. Varys?
I don't know. He's kind of sneaky. He seems to he's kind of like a cockroach. I'll go not dead.
Yeah, I'm going to go not dead too. I sort of feel like it could be quite, you know, you had the big chaos is a ladder, chaos is a pit speech from Littlefinger. I think it'd be quite poetic. Littlefinger ended up dying with the ladder of chaos, but Varys was able to climb it.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be a pretty cool end. Is there anyone else? I feel like we've forgotten. Any dragons alive at the end of the series?
Ooh. I'll go. That's an interesting one.
I'm going to say no. I'd like there to be one left, but I feel like, whoever's now, if Daenerys ends up on the throne, like, she'll have to rule without dragons. And I don't know if she doesn't end up on the throne, how the dragons survive her not winning.
Yeah. Oh. Are any of them female? Could there be like a credits twist where everything happens, we think the season's over, and then in the middle of credits just pops up to this remote island and we see a dragon egg?
Possibly.
Would that count as there still being a dragon?
Yeah, I'm gonna say no. It's like a new tray. You can call the egg if you want as a extra prediction.
I'll say no dragons.
Okay. No dragons. Cool. Well, I agree. What do you think about here's my prediction. I'm so certain of this. This is my like big prediction of the season.
Oh, Matt's lock. Straight to Vegas after this. Yeah. Matt's lock of the season. Here we go.
There will be a shot of the ice dragon and one of the other dragons breathing into each other, and you'll see the fire hit the ice from the two dragons.
You know, I was prepared to say no, just whatever you said, just because it was your lock. But that is such a lock. Guaranteed, yeah.
The only question I've got is, will the two streams like hit each other and bounce off each other a bit, like sort of that war of sort of things, or will they like entangle and twist up in each other?
Yeah, it'll be like Harry Potter and Voldemort the first time they meet. Look, if you can find that as a prop bet on a website or a bookie or at Vegas, sell the house, sell the kids. You are going to want to put everything you own on that bet.
We take no responsibility for any loss of things based on that.
Yeah.
Like, just disclaimer, Screenburner takes no responsibility for anything.
100% with an asterisk. Johnson,
do you have our last prediction as to who we think will end up on the throne at the end of the season? I don't know, should we each pick our top three or something, like our three most likely or something like that?
Okay, so I feel like Daenerys and Jon Snow are probably the two most obvious picks. I'm trying to think who would be a third. I mean, I guess Cersei could just keep the throne. Could anybody else? Let's say Cersei dies, Dany dies, Jon dies. Is there anybody else that could ascend to the throne?
I heard this theory from someone at work the other day, and I'm amending it a bit. They gave me the idea for this. I'm sure they read it online or something. Anyway, what about Arya ending up on the throne, right? But you think it's someone else, and then last shot of the series, the face changes to Arya sitting on the throne.
That's not so, the oh worst. Oh no,
Cersei won. Oh, that's so sad that Jon and Dany both died, and Cersei's on the throne. And then last shot, Cersei's face turns into Arya's face.
I don't think that will happen, but it's not an impossible scenario.
Yeah, that's not my prediction, but I do think that I could see them going in that direction.
Yeah.
I think we'll see at some point this season, probably you think it's someone else, but it's actually Arya.
Yeah, in some scenario, I think we will see that, just not on the throne.
It will be interesting. That's why I thought maybe we'll see Arya fake her death at some point, because we then think Arya's dead, then someone else turns into Arya and she's like, ha-ha, I faked my death. Like, I've been alive all the time.
I don't know. I don't really see, like, a Jaime or no.
Like, Tyrion's such a fan favorite character. Like, I guess it's not out of the question. I'm just not sure if, like, we've had so much Lannister dominance this season, if we end up with a Lannister on the throne at the end.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I love Tyrion. I think he could be a good king. I just don't. I'm not sure if he even wants to be king.
Yeah,
I mean, if he was the last person left.
The Night King is an outsider's chance. They're either sitting on the throne or destroying the throne. You could see the throne getting destroyed in the final season, right? Like, oh, everyone's been fighting for this throne, and that's not even what it's about.
Yeah. Cool.
I wouldn't like it if that's how it ended. I do want to see someone on the throne at the end. Okay, yeah. Jonathan, call it. Call your shot. Who ends up on the throne at the end of the season, or is it destroyed?
I don't think this will shock anyone. I'm going to go with Daenerys.
Oh, I was going to go with Daenerys. Daenerys was my season one winner pick, so I'm going to just stick it out.
Yeah, well, you know, if it's – I mean, I should pick someone else, because I guess if Daenerys is on the throne, you can claim it more than I can, because I'm pretty sure Littlefinger was my pick.
Who's your season – so who's your number two? Let's go down till we have a disagreement. Who's your number two for the throne?
Again, it's not all that original, but Jon Snow would have to be number two.
Yeah, I sort of agree, although I feel like if Daenerys is up on the throne, he's dead. Like, I think for him it's like, you know, for them it's sort of... Anyway, should I say my number three now? Like, yeah, since it's not... I'm going to say Arya as number three. I just feel like with that whole face thing, there's like a interesting twist that can come of her being on the throne.
All right, I'll mix it up.
You don't have to. If you think it's Arya 2, just say it like that.
Nah, this is a good one. This is going to blow your mind.
Okay.
Haven't even mentioned this person yet.
Oh, even so, there's one other thing that we have unfortunately avoided, and we probably should have said whether they're dying or not, but anyway, continue.
Bran.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Bran, done nothing. I feel like Bran has been the biggest disappointment of the show. I feel like him and his capabilities with the three-eyed raven, he is the three-eyed raven. I feel like that's been built up so much. And other than Hodor hold the door, I felt it has led to nothing interesting or entertaining the entire show.
Yeah.
So perhaps he could come through and finally do something and end up on the throne.
Maybe they've made him do less to keep it more of a surprise when he ends up on the throne at the end. You sort of almost forgot he was there, as we did in this podcast. so, like I said, now, there's some theory that Bran is the Night King. I can't remember. This is a theory from a couple of years ago and things, I guess, of all the time travel and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, like, so... I guess you could win that one out if also the Night King ends up on the throne and it turns out that that is Bran as well. Like,
yeah, I don't think I could claim the Night King unless it was revealed that he is Bran. I don't think I can claim both.
Oh, yeah, they're different people.
The theory has to be true, but yes. Okay, so that's where we get our disagreement, our third pick. You're taking Arya, I'm taking Bran.
Yeah, I like that. And do you think Bran's going to survive the season?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go, here. Look, ruins my sort of theory of there only being one surviving Stark. You know, this season did kick off with him getting pushed out a window, this series, sorry, and be interesting to see him having survived through the end. Wonder if he ends up killing Jaime.
Well, this time.
Jaime tried to kill him.
Well, this time, Jaime just pushes him out of a slightly higher window.
Yeah, yes. The one thing I would say is I had a look at the pilot episode of Game of Thrones because I think that the person who wins out at the end of this will be someone who is in the pilot, right?
I like that. That's logical.
Yeah, like, it's not going to be some character they introduced last season. It's going to be, like, the person who is the... Yeah, you know what I mean? Because that'd be boring. That'd be unsatisfying. And the characters that were in the part that are still alive, I think, are Cersei, Jaime, Sansa, Arya, Bran, Jon, Theon, Tyrion, Daenerys, Jorah. I think it's 10 characters.
Ooh. Yeah, that makes sense. So
pretty much
to
all
me.
The ones we were throwing out.
Yeah. Cool. Well, there you go. Those are predictions. Dead or not dead, who will end up on the throne? And there's only 6 episodes to go. So a bit of a short season. Although I do have the length of each episode. Those of you that might be interested, this is a Screen Verdict exclusive. That also has an asterisk on it, like our betting advice. But here are the episode lengths. Episode 1, 54 minutes. Episode 2, 58 minutes. Episode 3, 82.
Whoa.
It's a long episode. 3, episode 4, 78. And episode 5 and 6 are both 80. So...
Wow.
The first two, pretty standard for HBO/Game of Thrones, but 3 through 6, all pretty long, pretty hefty episodes. So
making up only for a shorter season.
Yeah, 7, at least 7 episodes worth of content.
I think there's going to be some battles.
Yes. Hopefully more Two Towers and not Return of the King.
Okay. But, fair enough.
There you go. So, yeah, let us know whether you agree or disagree, what you're excited for, what your predictions are. Maybe we'll make a dead or not dead little graphic or something that we can post on Facebook. You can join in on that game.
I like that.
And, yeah, let us know. Facebook.com/ScreenVerdictPodcast.
Quickly, Theon, dead or not dead?
Oh, good. Theon, dead.
Yeah, I agree.
Alrighty. So, yeah, very excited for Game of Thrones. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll be definitely keeping a keen eye out, trying to avoid any spoilers by watching those episodes early. And we'll see who won our predictions in about, 6 weeks from now with our Game of Thrones Season 8 review.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Till next time, guys. Hope you enjoy, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, bye.